Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Well, we're starting a series called You Asked For It. And that's not in the negative sense like, well, you asked for it. It's the positive sense that at Easter, we allowed people to fill out a card and we said to them, please write down what you would love someone to preach a message about. And so people did that and we had literally hundreds of cards come in and then we tried to collate them. Now, if you did fill it in and your message doesn't get preached, it will get preached at some stage, okay? But what we tried to do is find the ones where there were just multiple amounts of people who wanted the same thing. And believe it or not, right at the top of the list is what I'm starting this message with, this series with, and that is people wanted to know about end times. Yeah. People wanted to know how this world will end. And so I'm going to be kicking off that message. Please pray for me as I try to unfold something here. And of course, without conjuring up fear inside of you. So can we just bow our heads for a moment? East Campus, would you just bow your heads for a moment? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this awesome group of people, Lord, here at North and at East. And Lord God, we just want to pray that your word would sink deep into our hearts and that we would learn something and not just be inspired, but Lord God, that we would change from the inside out, that this message would reflect throughout our week in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Have you noticed how morbidly interested people actually are in end times and how the world will end? And if you don't think that's a truth, all you need to do is go down to your local cinema or have a look on YouTube and get on your IMDb or EM, whatever it's called, that thing, and have a look at how many films are about the end of the world. I've just written just a few of them here. There's one called The Day After. There's one called The Day After Tomorrow. Then there's the one that's called The Next Day After Tomorrow, when tomorrow has come to an end. No, I'm only joking about that one. There's one called Deep Impact. Who's watched that one? Then there's The Core. Then there's I Am Legend. That was a good one. And just recently, there's Birdcage. That was on Netflix about some sort of thing that was going on and people killed themselves. And you know, what's it called? Bird Box. You're really going to correct me about that? Okay. The point is, people, if we think this is not an interesting subject, we're kidding ourselves. Movie makers are making these films because people want to see them. Hollywood doesn't make anything people don't want to see. People love these types of films, and that's because we are interested as to how it all pans out. So let's just go there a little bit. Some of you may have seen just recently that there is an asteroid heading. It's not going to hit Earth. That's the good news. But it is. You will be able to see it. It's 355 meters wide. If this thing was to hit the Earth, we'd be in really, really big trouble. We've got some pics here, guys. You need to keep up with me. Oh yeah, here it comes. Now that's actually not a picture of it. I just found that on. But it is headed our way. There is another pic about it. What's it called, guys? It's actually got a name. It's just the next picture. Yep, and here it comes. Sorry. Okay, massive 355-meter wide asteroid shooting toward Earth. That's May the 3rd, 2019. Like, this thing is on its way. Not trying to inspire fear in you, but you just need to know these things just so that when you do see it. Some of you may or may not know, but you know, scientists do gather together every year and they have what they call a doomsday clock. Have you ever heard of this thing? This is a real thing, guys. This is where scientists get together and are basically predicting how long we have as the human race on the Earth. Not because the Earth is going to blow up all by itself, because we might blow it up. And some of you may have seen this recently. This is a very recent picture. Have a look at how much time they're saying we have got until we run out of time. We've got 2 minutes on the world clock. What that means is we are getting scientists. This isn't some scaremongering. Scientists are saying On the 24-hour clock, we are 2 minutes away from destroying ourselves as a race. That's pretty serious stuff. Would you agree? The world as we know it, guys, will end one day. And here comes the good news. It's only going to happen when God says it's going to happen. It's only going to happen when the God who created the earth is going to let it happen. And we need to get that into our spirits. Because we may not know what our future holds, but we know who holds the future. Amen. And the world can go nuts. And there's a whole lot of stuff that may creep into our thinking that could scare us, but we need to have a revelation that there is a God who is in control. Amen. But listen, we do need to know that this thing is coming to an end, but it's in God's hands. God is not going to get up one day and go have a cup of tea and turn his back on the earth, and then while he's not watching, some asteroid comes and wipes us out, and God says, what happened to those guys? Oh, I really like them. What happened? No, he knows. He's in control. And we've got to get that. So when you turn on the media, you're reading an article, and it may be true, everything that the scientists are saying, we need to say, listen, that may be true, but my God is still in control. He runs the universe. He created the asteroid. He created the earth. God is in control. We need to get that into our spirit. And the reason why I was really happy to talk about this is because every person in this room has a belief. If you think you are beliefless, friends, it's not true. Everyone believes something. And my desire is that you would believe what the Word of God says about the future, about end times, about this whole thing is wrapped up, how it's wrapped up, what God is intending. That's my desire for you today. If you want to go on that journey, why don't you give the Lord a huge round of applause? Come on, East Campus. Let me tell you how I know that God is in control. This world cannot end until something very significant takes place. And I'm very excited about this part. Some of you would know what it is. If you're new here today, you're thinking, what would that significant event be before the world can end? Well, we would know it to be this. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This world cannot end until he comes back again for us. It can't end because then that would make Jesus a liar. He said he was coming back. When I was growing up in the Catholic faith, I remember having to repeat this statement. Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. I grew up as, I didn't quite know what that meant growing up, to be honest. It was just something I repeated, just like a chant. But it's a biblical truth, friends. Jesus is coming back. Some of you may or may not know that for holy writings to actually be a part of the Bible, how did they decide what was going to be canon of Scripture, which means the Bible that we have today? How did they decide what was in and what was out? Because as you would know, there are a whole lot more writings out there that aren't in the Bible. Did you know one of the criterias was that if it didn't talk about the second return of Christ, it didn't make it into the Word of God. That's how important it was to the apostles and to our forefathers that when we're reading the Bible, it needs to constantly remind us that Jesus is coming back. Isn't that an amazing truth that we can read the Bible and it constantly talks to us about it? Over 200 verses in the New Testament talk about Christ's return. And my desire is that you would know how it's going to happen, to be ready for it, but to also have a hope about it. Now, the reality is, most people in this room, as I've started to talk about the return of Christ, fear has gripped your heart for many reasons. For some of you, it'd be because maybe you feel like you're not ready. For some of you, it's like, but how does it happen and is it painful? For some of you, it's because you're single and you just desperately want to make sure that you get an opportunity to enjoy life to its full. Come on, be honest about it, some of you singles. It's true. It's like, Lord, just wait until I... Please, Lord, you created it. Don't stir me up. This is what Titus chapter 2, verses 12 to 13 says. By the way, we're going to read a fair bit of scripture today. Is that okay? Okay, it goes like this. It says, we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, listen to verse 13, while we look forward with hope. That's my desire today, that when you think of the Lord's return, it fills you with hope. Hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. By the way, if you're wondering whether Jesus Christ is God, that scripture is your proof. He is our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you know, when you think about the Lord's return, when you're in your car, when you're about to go shopping and you think about the Lord's return, it's not supposed to fill you with dread or fear. It's supposed to fill you with, oh, he's coming back. Oh, he's coming back. And there's a way in which we can get there. But did you know that Jesus had an expectation that we would know something about the end times? You speak to most Christians about end times, they're like, ah, I got that. What do you think about the end times? Ah, mate, what will, mate. Whatever will be, will be. Well, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 25, he made it pretty clear. He said, see, I have warned you about this ahead of time. Jesus wants to warn us so that we can look out for the signs of his return. He doesn't want us to be people who walk around blindly. In actual fact, Jesus sharply criticized the Pharisees because they had no idea about the signs and times. He rebuked them. We don't want to find ourselves in that category. Do you know, he even gave a parable about the 10 virgins. Remember the wise and the foolish. Do you remember that? Do you know what that whole parable is about? The five foolish ones were not waiting for the bridegroom. That's what went wrong. And he's telling us, don't be like the foolish virgins. We've got to be like the wise ones who can see his return is getting closer and closer and closer. And we are filled with more hope, more passion, more desire. Friends, if you know this or not, Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. He is coming back. And some of you are like, yeah, I'm still not very happy about that. Well, you're going to be happy by the end of this service. But he is coming back, friends. And if you're thinking, but I'm going to miss out on life on earth. Listen, you obviously haven't got a revelation of heaven yet. Because this was God's first attempt. Heaven's the real place. And if you think life on earth is great, if you think motorbikes are fun, wait until you see what God's got in heaven. I mean, you go over jumps that just goes for like 35 years. You can eat a meal while you're jumping over that. That's how I imagine heaven to be anyway. So, how do we really know that Jesus is coming? Because some people think, well, I don't think he's coming. Well, that's not a new thought, by the way. 2 Peter chapter 3, this is the passage that we're going to be reading from throughout this scripture. He says, most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come. How many of you feel like you're getting some scoffers at work who are laughing at you that you think Jesus is coming back? Yeah, we're in good company. He says, scoffers are going to come. They're going to mock the truth and they're going to be following their own desires. By the way, that's usually why they mock the truth, because they just want to do what they want. Right? Now, I'm not here to mock anybody. I'm not here to give anybody a hard time. This is the truth, right? It says, they will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. I know you guys keep talking about Jesus, but nothing has really changed. I mean, it's all just moving along nicely. Well, what you don't realize is year by year, biblical prophecies are coming to pass. You think nothing is going on, but it's happening right beneath our nose. Biblical prophecy is getting fulfilled every year, year in, year out, but we just don't know about it. I want you to imagine you're on an aeroplane, and this aeroplane, you've paid for this very expensive ticket, and this ticket that you're on allows you to travel around the world to 324 cities. Imagine that. You're on an aeroplane. It's going to stop in 324 cities, but the aeroplane is on full autopilot. It knows where to go. If you were on that aeroplane and that aeroplane took you to 300 cities on autopilot, are you with me? If that plane took you to 300 cities on autopilot, would you trust that plane to get you to your 301st city? Anybody? Okay. I would agree with you. I think we could start to trust the system. Did you know that there are over 324 prophecies of what Jesus was going to do? Did you know that 300 of those prophecies have already been fulfilled? Already. There's 24 to go. Now, Dr. Dr. Peter Stoner in his university took 8 of those prophecies and worked out the probability. Because some of you are like, oh, I think that could have been fulfilled by anybody. They just took 8 of those prophecies. And I hope I can explain this to you properly, but here we go. He says this, the coincidence factor has to be removed fairly quickly because these are the 8 prophecies. The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Oh, that's fine. Yeah, but you know, kings aren't born in Bethlehem. So automatically we're like, okay. But Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We know that, we celebrate it every year. Is that okay? But for that same person, Jesus, to then have a forerunner in John the Baptist, all of a sudden the probability begins to go up. That's just the second prophecy, by the way, that he would have a forerunner. The third prophecy was that the king would come riding in to Jerusalem on a donkey. Okay, now can you understand that a king doesn't come riding in on a donkey? He comes in on a big white stallion. So all of a sudden, the probability factor starts to go up a little bit higher, that the same person who was born in Bethlehem with a forerunner now coming in on a donkey is getting pretty high. It also says that he would have wounds in his hands. Now, that's really amazing because crucifixion wasn't even invented yet. But it was prophesied that he would be crucified. Now the probability factor is increasing. It also says that he would be sold. This was prophesied that he would be sold and betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Before he was even born, it was prophesied that Jesus would be betrayed for, listen, not 20, not 15, not 45, 30 pieces of silver. It was prophesied about him. It came to pass. We all know that. Who did it? Judas. He was oppressed and he was crucified, yet he opened not his mouth. Who do you know that could be crucified but wouldn't go, ow? Our Saviour. But you know, it was prophesied that he would not open up his mouth in Isaiah chapter 53. Are you hearing this? The probability factor goes up. Did you know that it was prophesied that they would cast lots for his clothing? Okay, can you see what's... Do you know it was prophesied that they would not break his legs? Now, do you know, when a Roman soldier crucified somebody, everyone had their legs broken, but Jesus didn't. Okay, do you want to know what the probability is that Jesus could fulfill all those prophecies? Just 8 of them, not the 300, just 8. Do you know what? Here it is. It's a 1 with 18 zeros behind it. The actual number is called 100 quintillion. For Jesus to simply fulfill those 8 prophecies, not the 300. But he did. And some of you are like, what is 100 quintillion? Well, Dr. Stoner worked it out. Imagine South Australia. Some of you don't want to imagine about South Australia, but we need to imagine South Australia for a moment. Some of you wanted to go to sleep as soon as I said South Australia. You just like, imagine South Australia. Watch this. Imagine you took a dollar coin and you spread as many as you could dollar coins right across all of South Australia, 2 foot high. Okay? Then just take one of those dollar coins, put an X on it, and throw it into South Australia. Go skydiving, blindfolded, pick one coin, and the chances of you picking that one coin are the chances that Jesus could have fulfilled all those prophecies. That's what 100 quintillion, the odds of 100 quintillion are. Why am I telling you that? Because if Jesus has already fulfilled every one of those prophecies, why wouldn't he continue to fulfill every prophecy? Your Jesus is coming back. It might sound outlandish, it might sound crazy, but it already is, and he's already done it. It already is crazy. It's like, oh, but 100 quintillion. But he did it. All of those things are historically true. We haven't even brought God into the picture yet. It's historically true. That's why he chose all the historical events, not the supernatural events. Are you with me? Jesus predicted a few things about himself. 1, that he would be crucified. 2, that he would rise from the dead. 3, that he's coming back again. And these are the prophecies that we are just waiting for God to unpack. So some of you are like, but how does this whole thing work? Well, this is what verse 8 says. It says, but you must not forget this one thing. I love this. Dear friends, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, And 1,000 years is like a day. How many years has it been since Jesus died on the cross and rose again? 2,000. So it's only been 2 days for the Lord since Jesus died. And we're like, when are you coming back, Lord? He goes, mate, it's only the weekend. What's the matter with you guys? Like, we're getting all impatient. For God, it's just like the weekend has just taken place. He doesn't seem to be in a hurry. And this is what verse 9 says. This is why. It says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise. This is the same passage, guys, as some people think. No. He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed. He wants everyone to repent. Why hasn't he returned yet? He's waiting for your friend, your cousin, your co-workers, your brother, your sister. In some cases, it was actually you that he was waiting for. If you had to come back in 1989, I wouldn't be around. If you had have come back in 1995, some of you wouldn't have been around. If you had have come back 3 months ago, some of you wouldn't have been around. You wouldn't have made it. What's he waiting for? He's waiting for people to repent. He wants people to know. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to be in his kingdom. He's a gracious God. He loves people. He loves our community. And that's what he's actually waiting for. He's not slow, friend. He knows what he's doing. But Jesus told us that we've got to be aware, just like a pregnant woman who starts to get contractions. Jesus says when a pregnant woman gets contractions, she doesn't go, ooh, what's going on here? Oh, this is a surprise. No, she knows what's going on. But let me tell you something about contractions. We've had 3 children and it pretty much went this way every time. As soon as those contractions start, sometimes they get a little bit worse than others and it may go away for a few moments, but you know those contractions are coming back. And you know those contractions are leading to something. Guys, our world is feeling the contractions. Jesus said there's going to be famines. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be floods. Does that sound familiar to you at the moment? Just turn on your TV. Our world has never been in the place that it's in right now. There are more earthquakes going on right now than in the history of our world. What's going on? Contractions. Jesus is saying, church, wake up. Just like a pregnant woman is going, wow, I'm feeling contractions. She knows a baby is coming. What does she start to do? She starts to prepare the baby's room. She's getting ready. She packs her little bag. That's exactly what we should be doing, preparing our lives, getting ready, because we're out of here soon. We're out of here. And some of the singles are still saying, yeah, but I just really want to... Like, we get it, guys. But come on. So some of you may not know how this whole thing takes place. I've got an image here of how this whole thing takes place. And here it is. Are we ready? Okay, this is the cross of Jesus. Okay, Jesus has died on the cross. And then we're moving along. There's a blue line, there is a black line. If you are a believer in Jesus, you're traveling on the blue line. What does that mean? It means you're living your Christian life. You're getting married. You're having some kids, buying a house, and we're moving along. And the Bible says there's going to be a point in time when Jesus comes and takes his people away. And he's going to come, the Bible says, like a thief in the night. He's going to come. He's going to take us. That's when we go up to heaven. We are there with the judgment seat of Christ, which is not judgment for us. That's where we get our rewards. Then we have the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then he comes back. We come back with him, the saints. And then we get to live 1,000 years. Listen to where we end up though. We end up in the New Jerusalem. If you die, and the first thing you see when you open your eyes is a great white throne, then you will know that you've been walking the black line. And my desire for you today, if you're a black liner, I've got to get you to the blue line. That's my desire for you today. Because I know we're very busy living our own lives. And this is what Jesus had to say about his return. Watch this. We're going to watch this on the screen. He says, but of that day, Matthew 24, guys, sorry. Matthew 24, East Campus, watch this. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Watch this. But as it was in the days of Noah, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Okay, let's read about the days of Noah. For as in the days before the flood, what were they doing? Really evil things. What were they doing? They were eating. Oh, that's terrible. What else were they doing? They were drinking. Oh, man, that's bad stuff. Evil people, hey? What else were they doing? They were marrying. And they were giving in marriage. Hang on, Lord. That doesn't sound very evil to me. Until the day that Noah entered. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Don't get caught up in everyday life. These people were just caught up in everyday life without God. Because some of you are going, I'm not a bad person. It doesn't say that they were bad people either. It just says that they were just living their ordinary life without a care and a thought as to what was coming their way. Friend, don't be that person. Don't be that person. If you're thinking, is this stuff really, really true? Do you know, in the book of Revelation, just as one prophecy that is unfolding before our eyes, under our nose, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 14, there's going to be a day when people can't buy or sell without taking some sort of mark on their right hand or on their forehead. If you had have read that 100 years ago, you'd say, how is that possible? 100 years ago, you'd go, how can you monitor the whole world? Today we go, oh yeah, that's very doable. So there was a prophecy in the book of Revelation that could not have even been fulfilled 100 years ago. But it's being fulfilled now. How easy would it be for our government to say, you can't buy or sell unless you have some sort of number, some sort of chip, some sort of identification. And if you don't do that, you can't go to Coles and go buy food. The Bible calls it the mark of the beast. Now, I don't know specifically what it is. It doesn't even really bother me. All I know is I have to be on the lookout for what the Bible is telling me is heading my way. Friends, don't get so caught up because this is what happens next. It says, then two men, I love this, verse 40. It says, then two men will be in the field working at Ford. Yeah. Financial planners, two financial planners. It says one will be taken and the other one will be left. Two hairdressers. East Campus, we're all laughing because we just had Ellen tell us that she's a hairdresser. Ellen's going to go, and because she works on her own, her whole family's going to be saved. That's okay. Hey, some of you concreters, you're going to be working with people. The Bible is saying you're going to go and some of them are going to stay. Why? Because some people are black line people and some people are blue line people. The choice is yours. You get to be a blue line person or you can be a black line person. When I open up my eyes, I don't want to see a great white throne. I want to see Jesus' face. And I want to know that I'm saved and that I'm saved and that I am saved. Come on, give him a huge round of applause. The Bible says that he's coming like a thief in the night. And I just want to challenge you guys, be ready. Now, this is where people get scared. I don't want all those bad things to happen because the Bible says there's going to be great tribulation upon the earth. What does that mean? There's going to be trouble. There is going to be trouble on the earth, and some of us are fearing that so much. Well, I've got some great news for you. There is a whole debate as to when Jesus will take us. Does he take us before the trouble starts, halfway through the trouble, or at the end of the trouble? Theologians call it pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. There's one thing I know about my God. Let me read it for you. Romans chapter 5, verse 9, it says this. Since we have now been justified by Jesus' blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Let me tell you something about God. God doesn't punish his own kids in that way. He doesn't send his wrath out on his own children. The devil does, human beings do, but when God wanted to punish the whole world and create the flood, did he punish Noah and his family? No, he rescued them just before. When God wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, did he destroy Lot and his daughters? No, he took them out just before. Before the real trouble starts, we are out of here. God's not going to punish his people, his children, with the rest of the world. He's not going to do it. And that's the hope that we have. You don't need to dread and fear that bad things are going to happen. God's going to get us out of the way and then he's going to do what he does. But listen, he's going to have made sure that people have had an opportunity. How does he do that? Through us. Remember, what's God waiting for? He's waiting for us to reach people so that they can be saved, because God is keeping the door open for as long as he possibly can. And for some of you, that door is open today. you have somehow found yourself here today. You don't know how you have found yourself here. It was a friend, it was a cousin, it was at Google. Listen, it's not an accident that you found yourself here. God wants you off the black line into the blue line. He wants you saved. He wants you healed. He wants all your sins forgiven. He wants you to have a future. He wants you to have a hope. And we're going to tell our children this. You know, some of you think, is this like necessary? Let me tell you why I'm walking with Jesus today. I gave my life to the Lord when I was 15 years old. And then my friends that took me to church just kindly dropped me off at a billiard parlor with all my non-Christian friends. And I began to try and tell them about God, and they just shut the whole thing down. And within 20 minutes, I was back to being an atheist. Seriously, it was amazing how it happened. And then from the age of 15, I started to live a life without God again. Except that I used to go to my auntie's house, and my uncle, who was an evangelist, used to come out of the shower. He was like clockwork, this guy. He would come out of the shower, 10 a.m. every morning. He'd come out smelling beautiful with his paka raban, whatever it was. And he would look at me and he was, listen, let's learn from him. He would just look at me and he would know that I was in deep sin that night or the night before. He would know. And all he would say to me is, kifek ammo, which is, hello, uncle, which is, hello, Richard. And he would look at me and he'd go, kifek ammo. I'd go, hey, uncle. And he'd say, in his Lebanese accent, you know Jesus is a coming, yeah? And I'd go, yeah. And that's all he would say every time. It wouldn't be a hello. It would just be, you know Jesus is a coming. And then he would just start putting Vegemite on his toast. Nothing further, nothing more. Hey, parents, learn to look your kids in the eye and just say, hey, I know you're going out tonight and have a great night. You know Jesus is coming. Yeah, some of us need to do a bit more of that. We're so afraid of it these days. Listen, it's either true or it's not. I believe it's true. So why wouldn't we look our kids in the eye and say, hey, have a great night tonight, party hard, do what you got to do. You know Jesus is coming. God bless you. We'll see you later on. I reckon that's far more powerful than what time are you coming home and what are you doing. You know what? Let God get on their case. Let their own conscience drive them forward. Why are we doing so much hard work? Just look them in the eye. If you have to put a Lebanese accent on, do that as well. And just look at me and say, hey, you know Jesus is a coming. Turn to the person beside you and say, hey, you know Jesus is a coming. Yeah. Hey, listen, hearing about the return of Christ is supposed to cause a reaction. This is not theology. This is not just, oh, that sounds interesting, and then you park it somewhere over here. No, this is supposed to park itself in your hands, in your eyes, on your. It's supposed to do something to you because we know it's true. And some of you are like, yeah, I'm just not. No, that's how it works. If I also tell you, for example, I mean, there's a couple of clouds out there in the sky, but right now if I said to you, you know what, it's going to thunder in this room right now, and if I started sort of talking about that and you're like, well, you know, we all came into this place. We know that it's not going to thunder. But wow. Well, then you'd go, all right. And then what if I was to tell you that even in this room, there's going to be water droplets begin to fall. Just a few. Wow. That's 2 out of 2 prophecies. What if I started to tell you that fantails were going to start falling from the sky or something along those lines? Or, you know, what if... Oh. Wow. Well, that's pretty weird. That's pretty weird. Thunder, bit of rain, fantails. That's pretty supernatural. What if I told you that under one of your seats there's a $100 bill? I don't know which one it is. I left it up to the ushers. But under one of your seats there is a $100 bill. Yeah. Who's got it? No one, because I wouldn't be giving a $100 bill away. But let me... But can I ask you a question? If I just had said that just straight up, if I just had said there's $100, none of you would have moved. But because we Because one prophecy after another prophecy after another prophecy were fulfilled, and some of them were outlandish prophecies, then when I gave you that fourth one, most of you, some of you still actually want to look under your seat, I know you do, most of you started looking under your seat because of the confirmed prophecies. Guys, we have got so many confirmed prophecies. Why would we doubt these last one or two prophecies about Jesus Christ's return? Some of you are like, oh, I've never heard of these prophecies. Let me just give you one that we would all know of. There is a nation called Israel. Do you know the Bible prophesied that there would be a regathering of that nation? Friends, it only happened in 1948. Did you know there was no nation before that? Do you know some nations to this day still don't actually acknowledge their existence? What I'm saying to you is, that was a prophecy that wasn't too long ago. And then there's another prophecy that says that when the nation of Israel becomes a nation again, it says, look out, because that's the generation that will see the coming of the Lord Jesus. So get ready. Get ready. Don't let dread or fear grip you. Let hope grip you. Have you got some financial problems going on right now? Jesus is the great debt remover. When he takes you home to heaven, he doesn't ask you about your home loan. It all gets removed. You've got some marriage issues going on right now. When you get to heaven, he goes, guys, you probably should have got it right. But anyway, there's no marriage in heaven, so just go your separate ways. It's your great hope. Some of you are struggling with your kids, and he says, don't worry, I'll sort them out. I'll just give them one look at the flake of fire. They'll change their ways very, very quickly. Hey, listen, it's our hope. It's not your dread. Yeah, don't fear it. The Bible says that we should be saying every day, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabaki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.